Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
All right, welcome to week one of a brand new message series called Life, Money, Hope. And before I get into the message, would y'all help me and say hello to everybody watching online? Put your hands together and say hello to your online church family. Thank you guys for watching. And so this weekend, I get a chance to talk about something that is often kind of not really the most well-received in church world. A lot of times people don't want church people to talk about money, but we're going to talk about that for several different reasons. Jesus talks a lot about this subject, and really, if you take the Bible out of it and just say, hey, I'm not really interested in what the Bible says, and just look at it at face value, many, many, many people are struggling in the area of their finances, and it affects their life, and it makes them feel hopeless. So many people struggle. I read an article that says this, that nearly 90% of Americans deal with stress regularly about their finances. 90%. That's a lot. Somebody says, wow, I don't know if I feel that way, but I bet that each and every one of us at some point have felt the pinch of this area. So we're going to talk about stewardship. We're going to talk about generosity. We're going to talk about all kinds of different things. And here's something that's interesting. I always do a series on generosity or stewardship. And every time we talk about stewardship, you have to talk about the lordship of Jesus, meaning that he's in charge of everything. I'll cover that in a few minutes. And when we talk about stewardship, because it involves the lordship of Jesus, it is an incredible catalyst for us to grow spiritually. So here's what I want to say to you. One of the things that I love about this subject is it affords you and for me the opportunity to grow more than we've ever grown in the entire year. Like over the next 30 days or so, I just want to challenge you that God wants to get into your world. He wants to help you. He wants to give you answers, and he wants to grow us up spiritually. And so we're gonna talk about this. Last week I did it at this time of year. If you've been on a trajectory with us as a church for a while, you know I usually do a stewardship and generosity series in the spring. And here's always been my logic and reasoning. It's been, it's the new year, people need a new start, and so on and so forth. But as I thought through this and prayed through this, I felt like this was the right time of the year to cover this subject, because I think that if we look at the scriptures really, really intently and get a refocus, we won't have the panic of the new year, the January and February. A lot of times the January, February panic is the result of what we did with our resources in November and December. So I prayerfully thought about this, and I felt like, let's just get upstream of that and give you some solutions from God's word before you dig yourself into that hole. And somebody's like, well, it's only November. Well, I didn't figure you wanted a generosity series during Christmas time. I thought we would talk about something a little more holly jolly for December than this. But at the same time, Christmas is starting earlier and earlier all the time. Have you noticed this? I went to the dollar store to get some snacks, because where I live, that's the only place that you can go. And don't buy me these things, okay? Every time I hesitate to say what I like, because invariably somebody buys me it and I like get fatter by the minute, okay? So like I'm totally outnumbered. And if you guys like do this to me, it's your fault if you have a fluffy preacher, not mine, okay? So I like these peanut butter filled pretzels. Oh, some of you have found out about these things. Okay, so they have them at the dollar store, and I went to the dollar store, and I went on November 1st. I went on Wednesday, and the only reason I remember that is because when I went in, right in front of me were the Christmas tree-shaped Hostess snack cakes, and I'm like, man, what about the turkey? What about Thanksgiving? Like, there can't be no turkey-shaped snack cake or anything like that. So I went up to the register. I was like, man, they got the Christmas trees out already. She's like, yeah. Today is National Santa Claus Day. So November, in case you didn't know, you're welcome. It's November 1st, you missed it, so sorry, but it starts earlier and earlier. Last Sunday, in fact, I went home and I knew the season was upon me because all of my televisions had been hijacked by the Hallmark Channel. Like my daughters and my wife, like they never watch TV hardly ever, and like my DVR is like 98% full with like constant recording of Hallmark movies. And so it's getting really, really, really close. And so I wanted to get upstream of this. So let me just tell you where we're going in the series. Today I'm going to talk to you about beyond the numbers. I'll get to your notes here in just a second. But there is a numbers part of our finances. I'm going to give you a real quick outline for that. But then we really want to get beyond the numbers. Next week, I'm going to tell you the way out. I don't have enough time today. You'll have to come back next week to know how to get out. We're going to tell you your trap today, and next week, we'll tell you how to get out. And then, after that, we're going to talk about being intentionally generous, intentional generosity. And then November 27th, Larry is going to bring a message called about the principle of first and putting God first. And he's going to do an outstanding job as he always does. And then December 3rd, we're doing something we've never done before. We're going to launch a Legacy Sunday, and it's all about giving hope. And we'll talk to you about that in the upcoming weeks. During our 21 days of prayer, as we as a church were praying over the needs of people, one of the staff pastors came up to me, Darren. He said, "Josh, did you notice there's kind of some commonalities, some patterns, some themes within the prayer requests?" And I said, "Well, not exactly. I mean, that's kind of a broad question. What exactly do you mean by that?" And he said, "Well, Josh, I see the prayer requests in three major categories." And as he told me these three categories, I looked at all the prayer requests that we've been receiving within the lens or through the lens of those three categories. And sure enough, he was right. Almost every prayer request we've received over the last month and a half or so has come through really three main subjects. Something going on with their physical body, like needing physical healing. Big, big, big part of prayer requests. Relational or family challenges, marriages, relationships with their kids, so on and so forth. That was the second most one on there. And then the third was the one we're going to talk about, which is finances. And here's why I'm telling you that. Because I believe that our prayer requests are symptomatic of where we're dealing with pain in our personal and spiritual lives. In other words, I think you could survey a bunch of churches and they may have similar prayer requests, but whatever prayer requests are kind of at the forefront represent and are giving information back to me and to other leaders in our church about what is going on spiritually. What's the spiritual undertow and the undercurrent? So yes, we're praying for those things. But as I was prayerfully considering what subjects we cover over the next few months, I thought it would be wise, why not get upstream of the prayer requests and let's give people solutions from God's word about their finances, about their physical needs, and about their relationships. And so we've just kind of taken that as our cue from God that this is what our church needs right now. And so this is where we're going. And so that's partly why we're covering this subject now. And so I want to read a verse of scripture to you, and then we'll get into it, because this is very interesting what Paul says to Timothy. Timothy, any books in the New Testament that have a person's name attached to it, most likely that's who the letter was written to. And in most cases, that individual was either a leader of their community or a church leader. And so Paul is writing to a young man named Timothy, and he's the pastor of a local region. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. So some of the verses are written to all of us. Some kind of zero in on me as the pastor and share some things. There'll be a couple that we read like that. But here's what Paul is telling Timothy about the people in his care who have resources. And watch this. People who want to get rich. In other words, people whose total energy is consumed by money. Here's what happens to them. They fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Now listen, pause just a second. Well, let me read the next verse. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. There, we can pause right there. I want you to notice something. This is one of the most misquoted verses in all of the New Testament. Most people read this and say that money is the root of all evil. Listen, listen. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of it is the root of all evil. Money can be used for a whole lot of good things, but when our love for that substance becomes so overwhelming, back to this verse right here, it says this, that people who get consumed, how many know everybody who wants to get rich, don't get rich, right? I think it's funny that people will say things like, you know, money isn't everything, and money can't get you everything that you want, but all of us are on a crash course to kind of find that out for ourselves, aren't we? Like, we got to learn that ourselves. But look, he says, if you want this is what you want, this is like your aim, it's possible and likely that you'll fall into temptations and traps, and that these desires will plunge you into ruin and destruction. Listen, it's not automatic. It's when it's connected to a heart that has a love more for resources than people, than God, and the things of God. So don't leave here and say money's bad. Money is not bad all by itself. It's the thing that's attached to it from us that makes it either good or bad, positive or negative. You hear what I'm saying, right? It's because I've seen some people. Watch this next verse. Some people eager for money. Can you see how, like, that's... the context is they're going after it. And here, I want you to understand something. It's not only rich people that are consumed with money. Right. Come on. I've seen some people who don't have anything and they're consumed by getting more. Poor people can have a love for money. Middle class people can have a love for money. It isn't just this one category, but watch what he says. This eagerness for money, people, when they've had this, they've wandered from the faith and pierce themselves. Here's what I want you to understand. The devil didn't do it to them. They did this to themselves. I'm going to break it down real clear, okay? Let me get real pastoral with you. I've seen some people over the course of over a decade in ministry that they come into resources, and the next thing you know, they got all kinds of weekend toys. Anything wrong with weekend toys? Nope. But the next thing you know is they're more in love with their weekend toys than they are God. That's when there is a problem. Thank you for your thank you for enthusiasm. I mean, you got real Presbyterian in here on me on that point. Real quiet, but it's okay. And I'm not accusing anyone of that. I'm just saying my job is to put you on guard and say that the thing that God sent to you as a blessing, the resources that you've been given, can be used in ways that distract you. Am I saying you're never allowed to buy any toys? Dear God, no. Have them, but don't let them have you. You've heard that before, right? So here we go. Jesus said this. If you don't want to take my word for it, take Jesus' word for it. He says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, all you got to do is follow the treasure trail to know where my heart is. Open my checkbook. Look at my checking account. You can see where my heart is. And I'll tell you right up front. I'm going to tell you where my heart is. A lot of my heart is trying to feed them kids that my wife had. A lot of treasure there. A lot of treasure. You know, you'll see that a lot of my treasure is here in this house. Here in this house, man, we not only put our blood, sweat, and tears, literally, into this house, into what God is doing here, but we put our resources here. Now, don't take this the wrong way, but this is something that's important for me to say. Every year since we've started this church, Ange and I have given way more than what God has required through the tithe. Why? Because I believe in this house. I believe we're making a difference, and I want to invest here, and I want to lead the way. And if it was possible, man, I'd give more than I'm able to. I would love. Some of you, I know you're like, I want to give more. I understand that. I'm going to come to that here in just a second. But here's some numbers only things. You ready? In your notes, if you're following along, the first component of numbers only is earning. According to a 2015 CNN Money Poll, only 41% of Americans have a budget. That means nearly 60% of Americans don't have a budget, which a budget is just simply you telling your money, or the money that God's put into your hand, you telling it where to go. So earning is a part of it. But let me tell you something. Some of you just think, all I need to do is earn more. If I earn more, I'd be better off. But I want you to understand, that isn't true. That isn't true. If I just earn more, I'd be more generous. If I just, no. But I do want to say this. Earning is a part of the numbers system in our resources. And let me just say it to you this plain. If you are able-bodied and you don't have a job, go get a job. Let me go a little bit further and make you mad. Get out of mama's basement playing the Xbox and go get a job. I'm going to get nasty grams on that one, but I don't care. Look, don't get mad at me. I got to tell my son this on a regular basis. Get out of my basement and go get a job. J-O-B, go get a job today. Go get a job. Right? So earning is a big deal. Second is spending. Woo! That's a big component. But listen, There's some good news. There's some good news here. This one is getting out of control. Spending is out of control. And I have some good news for you. This is not your fault necessarily. It might be, but not necessarily. So here's why you have to have a plan. Here's why you have to have a budget. Because it's said this way, that there are two different aspects of things in life. So there are problems to solve. Then there are tensions to manage, okay? So what that means is there are some things that you get an answer for and they resolve or are resolved because of what you added to that problem. Then there are other issues like money that are tensions that you constantly manage. I'm gonna give you my opinion on this. There will never come a time in your life when the money problem is solved. And some of you are living in frustration like I have because you wish the money problem was solved, and every month some surprise pops up and there's another tension to manage. And you're like, I just solved it last month. Like I just solved it last month when my kid had a cavity that wasn't covered by the dental insurance. So I got that problem solved. But then in November, your car breaks down and you got another tension to manage and another problem to solve. And so you get frustrated because you think, I already did that. I already fixed that. What's going on? Let me show it to you this way. This chart shows the cost of living versus the median household income and their rates of growth, okay? I'm going to tell you and uncover for you why some of us are having spending issues, all right? In short, the cost of living is outpacing your raises and bonuses. And so if you don't manage the tension, you'll think, I've got a budget and I solved the problem. But what you don't understand is that the cost of healthcare went up by 57% since 2012 and 2013. And that's thrown your budget out of whack. What you don't understand is that your food costs have gone up 36% since 2012. And now it's way more expensive to feed your kids. The Penningtons spent $11,000 in October to feed our kids. That's a lot of money. Last night, they were all gone. They were all out of the house. And Andrew's like, I just feel like getting a pizza. I'm like, go on, get it. Let's do it. And so we got a pizza, and it was $9.75, and we both ate it and had leftovers. I went to bed that night, and I prayed, Lord Jesus, get them kids out of my house as quick as you can. Because when they graduate, I'm fixing to get a raise, y'all. Like, no, you're going to have other expenses. No. They on their own. Let me just take a pause. All the parental and grandparent pressure that you feel to pay for your kids' college, can I just help you? My mom and dad didn't pay for my college, and I managed and I worked my butt off and paid for that thing month after month after month. And you can do it. They can do it. And if you can't help them, man, awesome. But if you can't, Don't take a whole bunch of pressure on yourself to do things that are outside. They're adults. Let them be adults. That's what you raised them for. You're welcome for that permission. But I'm getting nasty grams from all kinds of students this week. It's going to be awesome. And we have a way to help you with this, okay? I'm just going to tell you. We'll come back to it. We have a way to help you. The third component is savings. Oh, man, I like that one. If you do not save, you cannot prosper. You need to know that principle. You cannot prosper if you do not save. You cannot. And we'll give you some help with that one too, but that's the third component: earning, spending, saving. The next one's investing. Ooh, that one's really awesome. I did a little bit of research, and here's what I found. Investing is awesome if you can get it to work for you, all right? And so I did a little bit of research and found out that the average car payment in America is $479 a month. That's average. Yes, ma'am, it's average. And so here's what I thought. Let me do some math and see what happens when my kids graduate college. Instead of the first thing they do, instead of buying a car first, what if they took the average car payment and put it in a retirement account that gained them 4% interest compounded monthly? If they did that for 30 years, the time that it would take for them to go into retirement, that car investment would turn into over $1.5 million. That's a real nice car, guys. But what are we doing? We're getting, am I against getting new cars and making? No. I'm just saying if you can invest and get interest working for you instead of against you, it's going to take the stress off of our lives. The last one is what most financial counselors won't talk to you about. That's probably my responsibility, but it's giving. And here's what I want to say about this one on generosity. Here's what I believe about you. I believe that every person in this place has a heart to be generous. Now, that I'm a rare exception, that may not be true. But I think that most people in here, I think most people watching online, they want to be generous. They want to give. But they feel stuck because of all of these things upstream of their opportunity to give. And so they feel guilt and they feel shame because they're unable to do what's in their heart. Most of us want to do beyond what we're able to do because we've said yes to some things or no to some things that haven't moved us forward. Listen, on this giving idea, some of you are like, man, if I just earn more, then I can give more. No. Jesus says it this way. He says, if you're faithful in that which is little, I'll make you ruler over much. I'm going to go ahead and take Jesus' word for it and say that just because you earn more doesn't mean you'll give more. You start where you are. Now, I did a little more research on this one, and here's what I found. That according to philanthropy.com, this is what it says, that the average American gives 3% of their income to charity. 3%. And the funny thing is that the less a person makes, the more and higher of a percentage that they give. The largest income category, percentage-wise, percentage-based giving, was $25,000 and under. People who earn $25,000 and under on average give away 12.5% of their income. And as it goes up, as the pay scale goes up, the percentage goes down. I get it. I understand. But it's just proving the point that you don't have to have a bunch to be generous. You can be generous right where you are and start right now. So this is the numbers. And the numbers work. But I want to pass on to you some principles that go beyond the numbers. All right? And so when you look at Haggai chapter 1, let me go through this. And now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. So think about your actions. You have planted much. I think this next part describes me in my life at times. You've planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you never get enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. This one, listen, watch this. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Oh, yeah, you see that one. Like, after the first service, people were like, Josh, that verse, that hit me, that's our life right now. Like, it no longer comes in, and it's gone. I don't know what happened to it. It's killing me. It's hurting me. And Haggai, he describes it perfectly, but he tells you the answer. He says this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. What's that mean? To me, it means think about your actions and make some changes. Don't keep feeling this pressure. Don't keep feeling this. And so here's what I want to give you. I want to give you five comparisons. And the first one is this: your calling versus compensation. And there's a higher and better way for us to consider. These five comparisons are some things that I've learned that will benefit everyone. They'll be beneficial to every single person. Calling versus compensation. That first one, by the numbers, was your earnings. That's the compensation part. But there's something greater, ladies and gentlemen, to consider than your earnings or your compensation. And that is, what has God called you to do? What does he put in your heart? What is your assignment? What is your passion? Because I can promise you this, that no matter what you make, if you don't have clarity on what God has designed you for, you will not be satisfied, I promise you. Because there's an aching inside of every person, inside of every human heart. God's made it this way. It's an aching to make a difference. And the way we make a difference is by doing what we were put on this planet to do. And a small percentage of people were put on this planet to earn. A whole big percentage were put on this planet to do a whole bunch of different things. Watch how Paul says it. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. I don't know about you guys, but I want to finish this race that God set in front of me. I want to finish my assignment. I don't want to just go halfway and stop. I want to finish the whole thing. How many of you just interact with me? How many of you like to finish things strong? Yeah. Like, what do I mean? I mean, you get close to the finish line, and you just see that ticker tape at the finish line, and man, you just put a kick on, and you cross that line with your chest held out, and you just break that ribbon, and you finish that thing strong. I like that idea versus just like barely limping across the end line, you know what I'm saying? Like crawling across. If you got to do it that way, I understand, but I want to complete this task, and I have to know what God has assigned me to do. Here's some extra notes if you want them. We don't just need money to live on. We need something to live for. This is inside of all of us. Some of you think, I just need more money. No. I promise. If you find something to live for, what you're trying to live on, your perspective of that will completely change. It'll completely change. Second one, because I got to move. This is a big one. Contentment versus consumerism. Consumerism is attached to the spending. And a lot of us are going to kind of get captured by this in the next few weeks, thinking that what we buy will make us feel better. Now, I've done this. How many of you would at least say I'm in partly the right room? Where you see something that you like and you think, when I buy that, I'm just going to feel happier. Am I the only one? I'm not the only one. It's like that thing gets you and it's like, you see it. It like starts calling your name at night when you're trying to go to sleep. And you can recall seeing it on the shelf, or you see it on the, you can recall it on the showroom floor. You remember the commercials. And then every time you get that thing in your mind, you see it everywhere you turn. And it's on the TV, and it's on an ad on the side of the road, and it's on the table at the restaurant in some kind of advertisement. And it comes on TV and you elbow your spouse. You say, see, there it is again. This is God. This is a sign from God that we need this thing. Some of you are going to, I'm just going to tell you, because I love you. And since I love you, I'm going to be daring and courageous and go to places that other people won't go because I dare to love you enough. Some of y'all are going to be tempted to go in debt over Christmas for little kids. They're going to spend more time playing with the box than they do the toy. I'm for your kids having good stuff and nice stuff, and I like all that. But what I have to get you to see is, what I want to get you to see is, contentment needs to be greater than our need to consume. And you won't get contentment just by consuming. Watch what Jesus says. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have. For real life and real living are not related to how rich we are. Don't try to go get more. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have. Thank God for what you do have. We need to spend some time doing that. Look at what Paul says. Paul says this: I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. But I've learned the secret of being content. Being content is a secret that most people do not find. And he says, I've learned this secret, that in every situation, whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I am learning the secret of contentment. Here you go. Contentment is not the fulfillment of what you want, but the realization of what you already have. Can I give you an action step? Go home this afternoon and write down a list of things that you do have that are helpful to you, that you're thankful for. People should be on that list. Some pieces of equipment could be on that list. A work job should be on that list. Like at least you have a job. I know you hate your boss, but at least you have a job. Come on. Right? Like, I'm thankful for this. Like, make that list, and I promise you, your level of contentment will go up, because there's much more in your life that you have than you realize. So have a realization, awareness increasing moment where you say, these things are working in my world. Number three, God dependent versus independent. Now, this is attached to the savings component of by the numbers. Savings is great. I'm for savings. I want you to have a savings. You cannot prosper if you do not save. But here is at least one danger in savings, is that you become independent. You can become independent rather than God dependent. In other words, God is always to be our source. And what people do, often I've seen this, I've done it myself. I try to have more resources, and I try to make money a God. And I trick myself into thinking that money can do things for me that are reserved for God to do, and for God to do alone. I'll give you an example. Some of us think that money gives us more security. It's an illusion. You can't get more security by having more money, but you can have security in God. See, we say, I need to make a big amount of money and have a bunch of savings. And listen, I'm cool with that, but don't become dependent on that. Be dependent on God. Some of you think, I can buy joy. No, you can't. Joy is something that, true joy, you can get happiness from some stuff for a little bit, but true joy comes from a relationship with God. Love, acceptance, peace, certainty. Many of us try to make money the source of those items, when that really is reserved for God to be the source of. So while you're saving, while you're getting ready for the next step, stay God dependent. Stay dependent on Him. Watch this. The wealth of the rich is in their fortified city. They imagine, underline that, circle it, do whatever you need to do. They imagine a wall too high to scale. Some people begin to believe that money creates so much strength that nothing can overcome it, that nothing can undo it. I'm just going to, and it's an imagination. Just ask 2008 and 2009 about how much of a wall of security and protection wealth was when everybody on the planet's 401k turned into a 201k. And for some people, that 401k became a box of Special K. I mean, it wasn't worth very much. It's sad, but it absolutely happened. And so here's what the proverb writer says: give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. What is this about? He's not saying it's not okay to save. He's saying, and actually Jesus picks up on this in his prayer that I taught you about a few weeks ago: give us this day our daily bread. It isn't a message that says you're no thrift, no savings. It's a message that says, God, I'm reminded that you give me what I need every single day. And every single day, I am totally and completely dependent upon you for everything, regardless of what all the circumstances say, whether good or bad, positive or negative, rich or poor. God, I want you to give me life today. Give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who's the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Here's the takeaway for you on this point. I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. Who richly provides. Now, the fourth one you've heard me talk about quite a lot. And it's the idea of stewardship versus ownership. And this is connecting to the investing portion. Stewardship versus ownership. And I've taught on this a lot, that everything we have belongs to God. He just lets us borrow it for a little while. And I've said this to you, God owns everything and I am his manager. It's his. I just get to manage it. I just get to manage it. And Jesus has a couple things to say about this. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. To protect what God has given us, we need to make heavenly investments as well. Invest in what God is doing in the earth. Invest in making a difference in someone else's life. Invest in who they are as well, and watch God give you a tremendous return on that kind of investment. Jesus says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, when he realized it, he hid it again. He hid that back and then in his joy went and sold everything he had and bought the field. So he found it and then he hid it and then he went and bought the field in which he hid it because he realized how much God had given him stewardship over. Fifthly, the last one. I'm going to close with this one. Generosity versus misery. Now, the word misery is a derivative of the word miser. Everybody knows what a miser is, right? Y'all remember Scrooge. He's a miser. And here's what I want to say to you. Some of the happiest people you'll ever meet are the most generous people. And some of the most unhappy people are some of the most selfish and stingy. That's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to hear, but it's absolutely true. And when it comes to giving, this is the component. It's our generosity. It's absolutely our generosity. Look what Jesus says himself. It is more blessed. The word blessed means happy. It means I'm more happy to give than to receive. This is what Jesus' command is to us. And here's how I see it. The value of my life isn't determined by how much I achieve or accumulate. That doesn't determine whether I succeed or fail, how much I accumulate or what I do. But what does determine it is how much of my life I'm willing to give away to others. I think that's the measuring stick for all of us. How much of me can I give away? See, I can talk to you about generosity all day long, but If you're stingy with you and what you have been given, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your time, your resources, you're going to live an unfulfilled life. And I love you enough to tell you, one of the secrets to life is to give yourself away. To give away what you have. And I'm not talking about physically. We're not receiving an offering, so don't freak out. I'm talking about the internal motivation of our heart to be generous with what God has put in front of us. Paul says it this way. I told you earlier, some verses are for you, some are for me. This is another one that's for me. And I'm pretty sure most of you are glad that you're not me when we read this. Because Paul told Timothy that I'm supposed to command you to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. I'm supposed to command you to do those things. Now, here's what I love about our church. I've never really had to do this verse. I've never really had to come at you and say, I command you to do this. I've never had to do that. Why? Because every time I put something in front of our church just becomes willing to share. So I just thank you guys for being an awesome church, an awesome people, an awesome house. Because I know some pastors, they struggle. They push every button. They pull every lever. They have to be authoritative and all those sorts of things. And all I have to do is say, hey, guys, here's the need. Here's what we're trying to do. Let's go get it. Can you help me do it? Hey, I think we need to build a building because we're out of space. And so, hey, guys, can we all band together? And if you're new to our church and you haven't got on board, we can tell you how to help us. But we're trying to do that and make that go forward. And it's moving forward. And things are changing. And motion is happening. And things are being accomplished. And all I really said was, hey, will you help me? Will you help us make a difference in our community? And you did it. And every time I've asked, and can I just tell you something? I don't like asking. I don't like asking probably any more than you do. Some of you are like, well, that's not a problem. Just ask. You're the people I worry about. I don't like to ask for help. But I want you to know something. Where our church is way beyond what any 1, 2, 5, 10, 100 people can do on their own. It's going to take hundreds of people banding together to make a difference on the level that God has called us to make a difference. And so, in this way, he says, we'll lay up treasure for ourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that we may take hold of the life that is truly life. That's how we do it. I want to give you some takeaways. And earlier I told you that we have a plan to help you move forward in some areas on the numbers. And it's called I Was Broke, Now I'm Not. Our church makes no money on I Was Broke, Now I'm Not. It's a service that we provide. There's a book that has to be purchased. We make no money on that. But the aim and the objective is to help you get a plan for your resources. To start dreaming again. To start planning again. For husbands and wives to come together and go after one common goal and manage the tension that is money. And we do this because we see people get free from it. We had a person right after the first service, they said they started into this. I'm not making you this promise. They're further in life and they were prepped and ready to go. But they said in the last year, they just paid off their house. I'm like, wow, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. See, we all, if you've never done this with us, I'm asking you today to connect with this. It's a small group. You don't bring your bills and have a big group discussion about your finances. And let me just take a couple minutes, because there's going to be some folks watching online. You want to take this step too. So many people look at the subject of money just like they do marriage. And the conversations go like this, like I said 10 years ago when my wife and I began to go to marriage seminars. After I announced we were going to be gone a week because we were going to go on a marriage seminar, and somebody came up to me and they said, oh man, is everything okay? Are you doing okay? I mean, are you guys getting separated? Like, wow, appreciate the positivity there. No, we believe in maintaining our marriage. We believe a marriage is a lot like a car. You've got to put some love and care into it every once in a while. And we're going to elevate the marriage above other things. And we're going to invest in our marriage. But so many people have a stigma attached to marriage conversations that the only people who get marriage help are people who are in marriage trouble. I would suggest that getting marriage help prevents you from getting into marriage trouble. And some people have the same stigma when it comes to money. Well, that's for the people who are really messed up in their money. No. This is for people who are doing well too, and watch it accelerate the potential that God has put on your resources. The second thing I want you to think about is this: beyond our walls. Today's the very first day that we're initiating something that I'm super excited about. On the walls when you leave by the exit doors, there's boxes and just say beyond our walls. And I'm going to invite you to put some change in there. Put some dollar bills in there. put something spontaneous in there that you didn't plan. We're going to use that to help those in need in our church and in our community outside. We're just going to say, hey, we're just believing God that we're going to be able to do what Jesus says, and we're going to be able to take care of those who are hurting, those who are in need. And we're just going to do that together. It's not our tithe. It's just extra. It's just extra. I'm telling you right now, if hundreds of us will do that over the month, that God will take that and he will multiply it. And we're going to get into people's worlds that you would have never imagined we could have ever got into, just because all of us do something small. So that's a step for you. And the final one is this. Legacy Sunday on December 3rd. I'm just asking you to pray about what your part would be. Just ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Here's what the Penningtons are doing on that day. We're bringing our best gift of the year to bring it to God, to do something that will live way longer than we will. I'm asking you to ask God. This is it. No pressure. Just ask God. God, what do you want me to do for Legacy Sunday? What do you want me to do financially for Legacy Sunday? And then just simply obey him. Here's why. The last thing in your notes. Because God's way works. God's way works. I promise you, God's way works. I'm convinced of it. 100% convinced that God's way works. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And before we go, I'm simply just going to ask you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus or you feel far from God, and you don't want to be far from him anymore, and you don't want to feel far from him anymore, you don't want to carry the guilt and shame, some stuff going on in your world that you just say, man, I need closer to God. I need to be closer to God than I am right now. And today's my day. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seats. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm just simply going to ask you to lift your hand and say, Josh, that's me. I want you to pray with me. I need to come closer to God today. If that's you, just throw your hand up in the air right now. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Anybody else watching online? Anybody else join these ones real quick? Come on. God's moving on you to say, that's me. I need to make a change. Thank you, young lady. Good for you. Proud of you. Anybody else join these six? Thank you, ma'am. Good for you. I want y'all to, would everybody repeat this prayer after me for those who are maybe praying it for the first time, starting a relationship with God or coming back to God? Could everybody pray this? Repeat this out loud with me. Say this out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord, now and forever. I turn from my sin and I turn to your son, and I'll follow him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Make some noise with me for those individuals. I'm proud of you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.